This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. Earlier this month, the city of Wauwatosa was featured in a New York Times article. But instead of the flyover country narratives we've become used to here in Wisconsin, the piece focused on a new tax avoidance tactic that has some municipalities worried. It's called the dark store loophole, and it's become a popular tool for businesses looking to decrease their tax burden in the Badger State.
Jason Stein is director of research at the Wisconsin Policy Forum, which has been researching the impact of this tax avoidance tactic. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers and starts by explaining the mechanics of the dark store loophole.
Well, this all comes back to how businesses are assessed for billing for property tax purposes. And so-called dark store challenges are appeals that retailers or other businesses are making in which they're arguing that their assessments, their property tax assessments, should take into account the values of similar properties that are now vacant or dark, and that's how you get that term.
Now, what is the argument for that? Because I think anyone looking at that, really on the face of it, they go, well, one store has been vacant for quite a while, and the other one is doing business every day. Why would we assess them in the same way?
Sure. The argument on the part of the retailers, and to be clear, our organization hasn't taken a position on this one way or the other. We're a nonpartisan organization. But to explain the argument of the retailers, they are arguing that in the marketplace, the real estate marketplace, if you have some stores that are vacant, that is an indication of what the value of such a property would be. If it didn't have a tenant in it, a viable tenant in it, and that should be at least in part factored in when a municipality goes to assess the value of a piece of property for the purposes of levying the property tax.
Okay. How is the value of a property generally determined?
Well, there's three main approaches in Wisconsin. There is the sales approach, which looks at what buyers have paid for other comparable properties. There is the cost approach, which focuses on how much does it cost to build a property minus any depreciation that would have happened in the intervening years. And then there is the income approach that looks at how much income does a property generate. So, for example, an apartment building with high rents would be assessed more under that approach than a building with very low rents.
So I think this kind of gets to the heart of who is making these appeals. What are the businesses who are generally making these appeals in the state of Wisconsin? Because it does seem pretty unique to big box stores.
Certainly big box retailers are one of the groups that have made a significant use of this type of appeal. But it is not strictly limited to big box retailers. So you have seen some use of it, for example, something comparable done by manufacturers. Manufacturers also happen to be one class of property that is assessed by the state government rather than by local city or other municipal governments. And again, they have made a similar argument in which they say, well, you should be factoring in how much this factory would fetch on the market if it were vacant. And obviously the argument on the other side, which I haven't given until now, is no, a store that is vacant, a factory that is vacant, is not comparable, the advocates on the other side say, to a store that is filled and doing a brisk business, or a factory that is filled and churning out widgets and making a profit on a daily basis.
Yeah, so the argument on one side is essentially these are specialized stores. They aren't going to get maybe the best price on the market, in part because they would have to be changed so drastically. But yes, the other side of the argument is that, well, it's not a vacant property. So that, you know, this is kind of a hypothetical.
Right. Right. I think that's a fair summary of the debate and the controversy.
So this was actually featured recently in the New York Times. It highlighted specifically Wauwatosa. And it seems like they used kind of Wauwatosa as a way of talking about the issue more deeply. But what is happening in places like Wauwatosa, like these other Wisconsin towns that have a lot of big box stores, have a lot of that kind of industry, who might be making these appeals?
Sure. Well, again, for a corporation, if they see that some competitors or other people within the groups within the marketplace are making this argument, then you know they're going to consider it because they have a responsibility to shareholders. And so if they see an opportunity to increase their margins or lower their taxes, they're obviously going to look at it. As far as you know what's happening in the marketplace, I think you know, part of what we're discussing here is obviously we live in a global marketplace. We have seen the rise of internet retailers over in recent years. And obviously there are dislocations in the market, there are changes. And so, you know, one question is, I think that underlays this whole debate is what will be happening with brick and mortar retailers in future years. And, you know, that may be in part both the concern on the part of municipal governments, as well as perhaps some of the urgency on the part of traditional retailers who want to be as competitive as possible.
Yeah. But what does it mean for taxpayers in a given municipality? I mean, you mentioned, of course, manufacturers. A lot of that goes into the state of Wisconsin as opposed to a city or county. But when it comes to municipalities who are taking in these tax dollars, what does it mean when their taxes are decreased pretty significantly in some cases?
Right. That I'm glad you asked that question because that's a part of this that we hadn't talked about. Obviously, they're still, in the greater scheme of things, a relatively small number of dark store appeals, but they can be significant because obviously these properties, whether it's a manufacturing plant or a large retail store, they can have significant amounts of property tax. If they successfully appeal and get their property tax assessment and their property tax bill lowered, then the municipality has got to decide, do they just simply forego those revenues with a potential impact on services, or do they spread those lost taxes onto other property owners in the same jurisdiction? And so what you can potentially have is a situation where the taxes on a retail store go down, and then they go up on homeowners and other businesses in that same city or that same jurisdiction.
I mean, one of the things that the New York Times piece pointed out was just how significant the increase to individual homeowners, individual taxpayers, can be, as much as, you know, $300 in one case of increased taxes as a result of a manufacturer, I believe, in that case. Making this appeal, getting their taxes lowered. How much are we seeing these kinds of tax challenges around the state of Wisconsin, and what kind of impact is it already having on taxpayers?
Sure. So I can speak to that. It's really going to vary on a community-by-community basis, right? So if you had a modest-sized retailer in a large city like, say, Milwaukee or Madison, and they successfully appeal and get their assessment lowered, you know, the individual impact on a given home or other business may not be noticeable, right? I mean, it may be a relatively minimal impact. On the other hand, if you have a small community, and let's say they have an anchor manufacturing plant, and that anchor manufacturing plant gets its assessment lowered by a significant amount. Okay, in that situation, yes, you could have, you know, a $50 increase on a home, or even an increase into the hundreds of dollars on a home. And so it's really on a case by case basis. And part of the, you know, what it comes down to is how big is that business when it's compared to the overall property tax base in that community? And it's just going to vary.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I know this is an issue that lawmakers have been at least talking about. How are they addressing the issue? Is there any pending legislation on these kinds of dark store loopholes, as they're often referred to?
Sure. Well, there's a Legislative Council Study Committee that looked at the issue. They made some recommendations related to property tax assessments. I have not looked at those recommendations in any depth. Some of the people involved in the debate have argued that those recommendations would not significantly alter the kinds of disputes or issues that we've just talked about. I think clearly there were strong efforts both to change and to preserve the status quo in the past legislative session. None of that is going to go away. You're going to see a debate over this issue, a very vigorous debate over this issue in the next legislative session that has just begun. And we're going to have to see what the outcome of that is. Obviously, Republican legislative leaders have been reluctant to make changes. Governor Evers and some lawmakers of both parties have argued for making changes. And we're just going to have to see how that all plays out.
Jason Stein is the Director of Research at the Wisconsin Policy Forum, a nonpartisan organization that analyzes policies in Wisconsin. Stein spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers. You can find a link to some of the forum's research on the dark store loophole at wuwm.com.